You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And now, Simo, I want to get your thoughts on this because, well, I mean, technically I got in trouble for, I think, sort of stealing feta cheese, but I don't think it was my fault.
Theft is a crime.
Okay, well, I'll tell you the story and then you can pass judgment, okay?
All right, sounds good.
So over the weekend, I went to a supermarket to do some grocery shopping.
Mm.
So far, nothing that has been a crime has not been committed.
Yeah, no, unless you robbed a bank on the way.
No. I stole a car, though. That was at the car park. Yeah. No. I don't want to mention which one in case I get people in trouble, but okay. As part of my shopping, I thought I'd get some feta cheese from the deli.
Right.
Went, got the amount of feta cheese that I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Went to the self-serve checkout to scan out it along with the other items that I'd purchased.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got to the feta cheese, I realized that the person behind the deli hadn't put one of the price stickers on it. They just put it in a bag and then in a little sort of plastic container. But there was no, like, barcode. Like, the person must have forgotten to put that on, I assume.
Yep.
So I kind of called over waved at the attendant sort of thing in the self-serve checkout. And I just sort of said, oh, look, this doesn't have a barcode. What do I do?
Yeah.
To which she said, oh, just take it.
I think that's what they're told to do, because I had this happen last night. I had got myself a cool drink, right? And it wouldn't scan. It was like, please wait for the attendant. This is an unknown barcode. Oh, like the machine was saying no.
Mm.
And they were just like, oh, do you want this? Like, we'll just do this for a dollar. And then just like put in a dollar and away it went.
Yeah, well, I mean, she didn't even do that. She just said, oh, I'll just have it for free.
that's them not wanting to put in the price.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, just get this out of my face.
But the thing is, I did it. I felt a bit weird, but I kind of did it, paid for the rest of my items,
yeah.
Walked out through the things, whatever you call, and they beeped.
Oh, the cheese police.
Yeah.
Mm.
Like the I don't know what they call it, like the, you know the things that you walk out of and if you've stolen something, it'll beep?
Mm.
One of those. I walked out and beeped. And the same lady that told me to just take it for free kind of came over and just said, all right, do you have your receipt here?
What the hell?
And she was, like, looking through my receipt and, like, kind of ticking them off with the items in the bag.
Mm.
And I'm kind of like, they're all there. Surely you remember. It was 30 seconds ago.
Insane.
You told me to take the feta cheese.
Yeah, the short-term memories kicked in there.
She kind of, like, picked out the container, said, what's this? This isn't on the receipt. And I'm kind of like, yeah, you told me before just to put it in.
Just going through all your different stuff. What's this? That's my wallet. What's this? My phone. What's this? My keys.
Oh, that's all the food that I stole. That's probably why the things beep. No, but she kind of picked up the feta cheese and kind of said, like, what's this? Isn't on the receipt. What's up? And I kind of said, yeah, but you told me I could put it in there for free, like, 30 seconds ago, you told me.
She's clearly someone that likes messing with people. How many people do you reckon she's done that to today?
I don't know.
I assume she's probably got something against the feta cheese eaters of the world.
Mm.
So she's basically trying to get them all put in jail.
Yeah.
It's just like, one cheese eater at a time, we'll take them down.
I mean, so she didn't thankfully put me in jail. I kind of said, oh, you dealt with me 30 seconds ago. And she goes, oh, yeah, yes, of course. Okay, fine. Popped it back in the bag and on with my day that I went.
Well, that's good.
But I'm like, I kind of had the same thought of you. I'm like, surely she remembered me from just before. Maybe this is just a fun game that she plays.
Yeah. Yep.
Kind of someone calls her over. It's like, sorry, my bottle of Mountain Dew won't scan.
Mm.
It's like, I'll just pop it in the bag for free. That's fine. And then 30 seconds later, they walk out. What do we find here? Someone's stealing Mountain Dew.
Little did she know that the scanners actually went off because of the keys to the stolen car that were in your pocket.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that. Go on your way.
No, it was the keys to the stolen plane that I left out in the car park.
Simo and Jordan.
Jordan, this is going to take a hell of a lot of unpacking.
Okay.
I am excited about this because it's wild and it's in Rockhampton right here in Australia.
Okay.
This happened. Okay, so Monica Green, a mother of three from Rockhampton in Queensland.
So far nothing that needs unpacking.
She noticed weird things around the house were happening.
Okay, I can see where the unpacking is going to start to happen.
So, she was never really worried about them, dismissing them as coincidences and figments of her imagination.
What kind of weird things? Are we talking like ghostly weird things or stuff going missing?
So, stuff going missing.
Okay.
Now, the biggest, when she finally really took notice, is when she came home for a doctor's appointment with her three kids and found the back door wide open, the air conditioning and the TV were on, as well as there being a half-eaten plate of chicken nuggets in the kitchen.
Yes.
Yep.
I can see why that would... why that would cause you to take notice.
What would your thought process be if you came home to that?
Well, I mean, has someone, like, tried to rob the house or something and thought, I'll just have a sit down here, watch the TV with some chicken nuggets, and all of a sudden heard the car coming into the driveway?
No, the only thing that had gone missing over the weeks leading up to this was food. Maybe you would think, or she would think, maybe the other half's got home early from work, potentially.
Oh, yeah, perhaps,
something
yeah.
like that, and enjoying themselves. However, not the case. She immediately called police and later learned that whoever had broken into her house had probably been living there for a while.
Wait, they'd been living in this woman's house?
Yep. While they were there.
Did this woman live in, like, a mansion with 67 bedrooms that she couldn't keep tabs on?
It's Rockhampton.
I've never been to Rockhampton. Do they have a lot of mansions?
There's not a lot there.
Okay, well, we'll cross that theory off.
They've got a few big statues, I think, of sheep as well there in Rockhampton. That's about the extent of it.
They've got the extent of your Rockhampton knowledge as well.
So, while checking the house for clues, officers noticed that the manhole cover leading to the attic was partially open, and upon checking the attic, they found evidence that someone had been living there. For how long, they have no idea. They've managed to remain undetected. No one can say how long this was going on for.
So someone was living in the roof of this woman's house.
Yeah.
Eating her food.
Yep.
Without her. Oh.
Mm-hmm. So they've changed all the locks since then. They assume that the person living in the attic has somehow managed to copy the keys.
Okay.
But imagine that. You're tucking in your three kids to bed at night and they're like, Mum, what about the monster in the attic?
I know.
And she's like, no, quiet, little Robbie. If there's nothing up there, just tuck yourself in and be nice and quiet.
I know. That's really kind of creepy, isn't it?
Super creep. Yeah.
So do they know, like, I know they don't know exactly how long, but do we know roughly how long? Like a month, a couple of weeks?
Yeah, I think they reckon about a month, maybe more, because that's when food was going missing.
Okay.
When she recalled that there were different bits and pieces, like, you know, things being knocked over around the house upon occasion, or food being eaten.
Hang on. So it was a pretty clumsy kind of... I mean, if you were trying to do that, you'd kind of try not to be detected. But if he's wandering around the house just knocking stuff over.
So they've already started. I know what you mean. Exactly. Very.
It's pretty casual.
Very accidental. Very bit of a klutz. But they've named them the Ninja Squatter. It's like, not so much ninja, really. Because you're leaving half-eaten plates of chicken nuggets around.
Yeah, I mean, at the start of the month or so that he was staying there, he would have been a lot more careful.
Yeah, yeah.
It's just like, now, oh, I've been here a month, I can just leave the aircon on and the TV and chicken nuggets everywhere, it'll be fine.
That's right. Yeah, get a little bit, what's the word? When you get a bit too relaxed.
Yeah, too comfortable in your surroundings. But can I ask, have they found this guy who kind of was squatting?
No, they're the Ninja Squatter.
Okay.
They'll forever be unknown.
Okay, check your attics.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Simo, I do want to touch on this, though. Some footage is doing the rounds on the socials of a squirrel holding a knife.
I saw this headline this morning.
Yeah.
So I guess that proves that squirrels must have opposable thumbs. How's it holding the knife?
That's a good point. I don't know if it's some kind of Velcro situation. Oh. I doubt.
I was thinking more type of grip, because, say, like, Rafa Nadal uses a Western grip when he's playing tennis, as opposed to, say, Federer, who uses a traditional grip. So I assume holding a knife is very similar.
I'm more of a traditional man when I play tennis.
I know, I don't mind the Western.
Oh, yeah,
it really helps with the topspin.
All right, Rafa. Simo, this squirrel, they haven't done scientific studies on what this squirrel would be like playing tennis.
Okay.
So we don't know. Well, I think it does have, like, opposable thumbs, so it can just hold a knife. So how this happened, it was in Toronto in Canada.
Yep.
And it's just in the suburbs.
Wow.
Of Toronto. Apparently squirrels, they're not necessarily uncommon in that part of Canada.
Yep.
And this woman left a knife in the backyard, a paring knife, that she left near a tent outside in her backyard.
Okay.
And I've gone inside to the house and the squirrel has wandered into the backyard, saw the knife, picked it up. And there's, like, footage of it that I wanted to play the audio, but there's no audio, which is a shame.
Yeah.
But it's just a squirrel kind of walking around the backyard, like, up and down a fence, just being a squirrel.
Yeah.
Whilst holding, like, a 10 centimetre or so knife.
Holy hell.
Now, eventually he sort of drops it and moves on with his day, so there was no squirrel incident happening.
Right, okay.
But it's just, it's... because they're so cute as well, squirrels. And then you see, like, one holding a knife. It's terrifying.
Especially in Canada as well, which we all know they have impeccable manners there.
Oh, yeah, they're like, the politest people in the world.
Yeah, and so all of a sudden a squirrel carrying around a knife is a risk of changing the Canada branding, really.
Yeah, I mean, squirrels, cute, knives, not.
Yeah, so you think about Canada, you think, what do you think? You think Bublé, you think Bieber, and you think maple syrup.
Yeah.
Right?
You throw the two B's and the S.
You throw in a squirrel with a knife, all of a sudden the whole dynamic changes.
It really does.
And then all of a sudden, instead of those things, what people will think about Canada is aggressive hockey and squirrels with knives.
I mean, what's going to happen? What's going to happen next in Canada? Bublé is going to be wandering around with a knife. On his next album cover, it'll just be him with a knife.
No, he'd be shotgun. Squirrels with a knife. Bublé with a shotgun.
Okay.
Bublé with a 22.
Justin Trudeau, the Prime Minister, would have some other form of weapon. I don't know.
Bublé 22.
But Simo, I wanted to get your... because obviously squirrels are like native to that part of the world.
Sorry, that'll be his album as well. It'll come out in 2022.
Okay.
And it'll be Bublé with a gun. It's Bublé in 22. Bublé's 22, and that'll be the album.
He's going for a very different marketing campaign. Buy this album, I've got a gun.
Do it.
No, but Simo, so obviously squirrels are native to that part of Canada, so that's, you know, why the squirrel was there. If you had to pick an Aussie animal...
Oh, yeah, I like this.
...to kind of... to be holding a knife and to be scary, what would you go? The scariest Aussie animal if they were holding a knife?
I reckon kangaroo, full stop, and then just not actually holding a knife. Because you have... just think about how many weapons that they could have in the pouch at any one time.
Yeah.
It's like always like those Pirates of the Caribbean movies where they have to give up all of their weapons. The kangaroo would just keep going.
Oh,
just like
if the kangaroo's going through airport security, it's like, can you take everything out of your pockets? It's like, I mean, my flight leaves in 45 minutes. Yeah. I mean, we don't have much time.
If a kangaroo did a handstand, weapons on the floor, everywhere.
But Tim, I was thinking of what Aussie animal would look the most terrifying if it was holding a knife.
Platypus, because it's already got a stinging tail.
Well, I was thinking, like, crocodile, but crocodiles are scary already. I don't think the knife would add any scary... if anything, it would add comedy factor, because it has to hold it in its little claw, and it can't really do anything with it.
Yeah, it's very tiny hands.
So, Simo, I thought, okay, so the scariest animal, Aussie animal holding a knife, I reckon.
Yeah.
It's a weird kind of moment to pause, but...
I really thought you were going to say Pete Evans.
Look, Pete Evans and Pauline Hanson did come to mind.
Yeah.
But no.
Scariest one's holding a knife, which is interesting because he was a chef.
Yes. There's lots of footage of him holding knives, chopping vegetables.
Why did no one notice?
No, but Simo, the scariest animal, I reckon, if it was holding knife, the frill-neck lizard.
Oh, yeah.
Tell me that wouldn't be scary.
Very true.
All of a sudden, this massive thing around its neck's going crazy. It's spitting, it's hissing at you, and then you're looking at its, like, paw. Whatever frill-neck lizard. I don't think it's paw, but still. Whatever they have. And it's just got a knife!
It makes a lot of sense. They are designed to intimidate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the knife would be intimidating.
Yeah, it's kind of similar to, like, someone in one of those big fur overcoats with a knife.
Yeah.
Similar neckline.
All right.
Big, fluffy neckline.
Yeah. Hopefully Pete Evans doesn't get a big fluffy overcoat.
That's when you know it's going to go even further downhill.
That's when you know things are really getting out of hand.
Simo and Jordan.
Bigfoot.
Yeah.
Are you familiar?
I mean, I've never met Bigfoot personally.
All right, so Bigfoot, I did a quick Google define. A large, hairy, ape-like creature resembling a yeti, supposedly found in the northern Western America. A prominent or well-known journalist is also referred to as a Bigfoot.
Right, are we talking about the first definition or the second?
The first.
All right. Yeah, so Bigfoot's like a mythical human thing, beast. That it's like the Loch Ness Monster, that kind of sort of mythical-esque.
A mythical ape-like creature capturing the imaginations of adventurers for decades has now become the target of lawmakers out there in the States. They have now dished out hunting licenses for Bigfoot.
Okay. have I missed something? Has Bigfoot, have they like proven Bigfoot's a thing? Or is it still like a mythical, we're not really sure?
No, well the, so this has happened from the Senate over there in the States saying that by issuing hunting licenses for Bigfoot, it's going to help boost tourism.
Right, so okay.
Everyone wants to come out with the opportunity to hunt Bigfoot.
I see. They should maybe put a warning if you've got, like, a big beard.
Yeah.
Like, you know that Gardner Costa on the ABC? He's got a massive beard. There's, like, more hair on him than human.
Costa, right? Yeah.
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 maybe he shouldn't go there, because well, otherwise they'll be, there he is. It's like, no, I'm just an Aussie gardener.
That would have to be a licensing, like, prerequisite. So, like, they'd shave your entire body.
Yeah.
So
you'd have to be waxed.
Yeah. In order to get the license.
Just before you get your license, here's some wax. Yeah. We just have to go through this.
There's, like, the 17-year-olds lining up to do their driver's test. Mm. And then on the other line, it's all these people waiting to get waxed so they can hunt Bigfoot.
I love that. You go to the government building, you walk in the door, there's, like, a driver's license and arrow pointing that way. And then it's like, do you need to get waxed for your Bigfoot hunting license? That way.
Yeah.
I'm kind of here for both.
So, Bigfoot, do you reckon only in the States have you ever seen one, Jordan?
I think, well, it is only in the States. That's the kind of where it's been.
Well, that's where you'd be wrong. I did a bit of research.
Yeah.
1893, between Cooma and the Southern Tablelands.
Okay.
Right? A cordial maker, his name was Arthur Maron.
Mm-hmm.
He was journeying from Cooma to the Southern Tablelands when suddenly his dog ran out into the bushes and off down the road in a terrible fright. Something had really spooked his canine companion, Jordan.
So ran away from something, or towards?
It ran into the bushes and then away.
Okay.
Arthur Maron soon discovered the object of his dog's intense fear was a large hairy creature standing upright on its hind legs. It jumped from the lower bank up onto the road in front of his cordial-laden cart.
Mm.
So, just FYR, they are out there.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's conclusive evidence.
Well, I found it in the Braidwood Dispatch from 1893.
Okay.
So, local, just saying, there could be some local Bigfoots getting around the Snowies and Southern Tablelands.
Well, that was, 1893?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
What's the average age expectancy of a Bigfoot-type creature, do we know?
You make a good point.
Because that would be, 130-odd years, if my maths is typically doing it? And we assume that maybe that was a middle-aged Bigfoot.
Yep.
So, roughly kind of halfway through its life. Like, how, you know?
Could be. I mean, there's another spot.
Was Costa rocking around in the 1800s?
How old is that man? We can't be sure.
I don't know.
So keep a lookout. It was only 4'11", by the way.
Mm. So medium foot.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
Before we go, Jordan, as a kid, the little Jordan, mm-hmm. little tacker, did you have a toy that you're a big fan of? So I can't remember if I was, but... But the young lads are normally what? Toy trucks, matchbox cars, dinosaurs as well. Did you get around the dinos?
I didn't get around the dinosaurs. My toy of choice was, I had toy trains.
Okay.
Why is that funny?
Because I threw a Thomas the Tank Engine at my dad and chipped two of his teeth when I was little.
All of my Thomas the Tank Engines remained on track.
Mine were flowing through the air.
You were like a flying Thomas the Tank Engine. No, yeah, I had toy trains and Lego as well. That was the other one that I used to play with a lot back in the old day.
I always wanted to be an astronaut as well as my first job. So when I found out I couldn't take a train to space.
You wanted to be a mixture of an astronaut and train driver. Combine them both.
And so when I found out that couldn't happen, I became a radio announcer. However, those that are interested in dinosaurs, ever fascinated? My youngest brother, big into the dinosaurs.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to read this out and just try not to giggle. We'll just deal with it if it happens.
All right. Maybe just, okay, I don't know what this is, but if you've given me this warning, maybe just turn my microphone off for the next 30 seconds.
All right. So, in a recent journal published on Tuesday called Current Biology, scientists have discovered new insights into a dinosaur's sex life with the help of a very well-preserved dinosaur's butthole fossil.
Okay. I wasn't giggling until that last little bit.
Yeah.
Out of all the parts of a dinosaur to find the fossil of.
Yep. It said well-preserved butthole.
Okay. I've got questions, but I don't know if I know. I don't want the answers to it, though.
Well, I've got the article here. Ask away.
Okay. Well, what's the difference between a well-preserved and a not?
Well, one's well-preserved and intact, the other one not so much.
One went out for like a spicy meal or something before the night before the meteorite hit.
So in the journal findings, scientists have commented that through the study of a fossilized butthole, it is...
Is that the scientific term?
This is the article.
Surely it's like they used a sciency, like an anus or something like that.
It is evident that the dinosaurs had a distinctive butthole, which they used for defecation, urination, and mating. Three in one.
Okay. I don't care.
Well, it's good that it keeps them in work, doesn't it?
What, the scientists?
Yeah, it keeps them in a job.
Yeah, I mean...
Great find, though. Great find.
Yeah, I mean, well done to this scientist.
Dear. While the real way of dinosaurs mate and the process of intercourse is still unclear, paleontologists now have a lead in investigating the sex life of dinosaurs, the well-preserved butthole.
You just wanted to say those three words, didn't you?
Isn't it stupid?
Well, I mean...
It's so dumb.
I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess that they had to, you know, do all of that stuff some way.
Mm.
And now that scientists have learned. But you know that TV show Walking with Dinosaurs that we all watched when we were kids?
Mm.
I don't remember a chapter being on the rectum of dinosaurs.
No, there was nothing there. They didn't know until now because they finally got a well-preserved one.
Okay. Well, we'll re-edit Walking with Dinosaurs, get that one back on TV, get David Attenborough to say well-preserved butthole a couple of times.
So apparently they've found that it's very similar to birds and reptiles. So the function and structure of it, very similar to crocs, by the way, crocodiles and chicken.
Okay, well, I'm not going anywhere near a crocodile nor a crocodile's bum.
Yep.
So I'll leave the scientists to tell me that, and then I'll take their word for it.
Leave it to the white lab coats, I say.
I'll leave it to the people who know better than me. About the anuses of dinosaurs.
Well, the well-preserved.
The well-preserved, sorry. My apologies.
Butthole.
Simo and Jordan. This is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway, on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.